Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God on Wednesday night, our Wednesday night Bible study, as we explore the words of God together. Our lesson tonight is going to come from the book of 1 Kings, and we're going to be in the third chapter. And I want you to know that the title of the lesson is Even the Wisest Person Sometimes Do Foolish Things. Even the wisest person sometimes do foolish things. At this time, I just want to thank God for allowing me to be able to come to you guys every Wednesday with this forum. I just feel honored, and I look at it as a privilege, and I'm just grateful. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time from your busy schedule and calling week after week. At this time, what we're going to do is go ahead and play a song, and after the song is through, we'll come back and go to the throne of grace in prayer, because the Bible teaches us that in all things through prayer and supplication, we have to make our requests known. And then after that, we will explore the word of God together. I pray that you guys had a chance to read the text that went out so that you could have a full understanding of the selected verses that we have on tonight. So I'm going to play the song, and I'll be back, and we'll explore the word of God together.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. It seems like my best just ain't good enough. Lord, if you hear me, I'm calling you. Do you see, do you care all about what I'm going through? And then he said, one more day, one more step. See, I'm preparing you for myself. And when you can't hear, I'm the Lord, I see, and yes, I understand. But sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. I'm just like a stranger so far from home. I feel like I've done all that I can do. Please, Lord, give me strength. Just trying to make it through. That's when he told me, oh,
one more day,
one more step, yeah,
one more step.
Oh, my child, I'm preparing you for
myself.
And when you can't hear my voice, I won't forget, nor have I forgot. You see, everything works according to my plan. I am God, trust me, I got the whole world in my hands.
Of that song is I Understand. And as I listen to the songwriter is saying that God understands wherever you are in your life right now, whatever trial, whatever, if you're going through tribulations, if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling like you're not a success, whatever you're feeling, God understands. And he say he's right in the middle of it, because we all know that nothing can happen that can take God by surprise that's going on in our lives. And the songwriter also said, when you can't hear his voice, because there's many times we feel separated of God's presence, we can't feel it in our lives. And you know the rule of thumb is that God said he'll never leave us or forsake us. So it's never God leaving us. It's just we are walking away from him in a sense. Are we not holding on to our faith? Are we not looking to him as the author and finisher of our faith for whatever it is that we're going through? But you got to remember, you're only human, you know. It's not that you don't have faith, because sometimes you feel you can't pick your head up or your heart is heavy burden. It's not that you don't love the Lord when you know, is consumed by the issues of life. But we have to just hold on and realize that God is in the middle of everything that's going on. Nothing is happening to you that's taking him by surprise. And remember the love that he has for you. He's going to still, he's while you feeling, whatever way you feeling, God is working it all out together for your good. You got to trust him. And you got to keep moving, keep it moving, because this world is designed to take you down and take you out. And you have to realize Satan is on the warpath, and Satan is doing everything he can to keep you under the bus. And you have to realize that his power is limited, and God is in total control. We also have to remember and realize that this world do not love nobody. We have turmoil on every side. Our country is in shambles. Our leaders are in shambles. Some of our churches are in shambles. The Christians are in shambles. And yet you have to find a way to keep it moving. The word of God, God wants us to know that he got us. No matter how it may look, no matter how it's feeling right now, as the song say, God understands. and he's right in the middle of whatever is going on in your life. And if you're going through a dry spell where you can't hear the voice of God, the record says, just trust his plan, because he's God, and yes, he do understand. At this time, we're going to the throne of grace. If anyone would like to take the opportunity to lead us into the throne of grace, you could press the one button on your phone at this time, and I'll open the mic. If anyone have any prayer requests, and I'm asking in the year 2019, when someone call and ask for prayer, that you take and jot the name down, and in your devotion period in your time or when you intercessing for others, call that person's name out. They say there's power in prayer. We are a Bible study. We are children of God coming together and praying for one another, be able to call their name out. So in 2019, I suggest when someone asks for prayer, that you jot their name down and remember them more than this one time and pray for them. I have a prayer request for Brenda Pierre. She's a dear friend of mine. She's in the hospital. If there's any other prayer requests, you could press the one button and we'll take the name. If anyone would like to pray, press the one button and I'll open the mic. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, God, you're the author and the finisher of our faith. God, you hold us in the palm of your hand. God, we need you because there's no other name to call on besides the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down upon us, dear God, as we go through this life here on earth, dear God. There's problems at every twist and turn. And with God, there's also successes. But, Lord, we are human. We have emotions, and plenty of times you know that they are mixed up. But, Lord, we just gonna look to you and realize that you're the one that's gonna see us through. Look down upon the sick and the shut in everywhere, dear God, especially Brenda Pierre, that I call out her name. Lord, your will be done in her life concerning her sickness. But, Lord, I just ask that you please don't let her suffer. And, dear God, I'm asking that you look down upon every person that calls in to this program. Bless them, their homes, their families, their finances, their health, dear God. Not just the ones who call in, but those who go on their cell phone or go on their tablets, dear God. And not just here in the United States, but the people all around the world that take time and call this program as well. Lord, I thank you for giving me this forum. And, Lord, I know that the provision is already attached. Lord, I have to confess to you right now that I'm not perfect, but I am faithful. Help us to achieve what you want us to achieve from what we're doing. And we're going to be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and all the glory, because you're worthy, dear God. You're worthy of all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. We're going to go ahead into the lesson tonight. And I'm going to say the title again because so many callers have called in since I said it earlier. But the title of the lesson is Even the Wisest Person or the Wisest People Sometime Do Foolish Things. We coming from the book of Kings, matter of fact, 1 Kings. We're going to be in the third chapter, and we're going to expound on verses 1 through 15. always we do a little background. So I'm going to give you a little bit about Solomon. You see, Solomon was the son of David and Bathsheba. Y'all know the story of David and Bathsheba. And Bathsheba was the former wife of Uriah, a Hittite, whom David had killed to hide his adulterous affair with Bathsheba while her husband was on the battlefront. Not only was he on the battlefront, but David sent him there so that he could possibly be killed. Because you see, when David selected Bathsheba and he, as the Bible say, went into her, she became pregnant. And David didn't want this to be reflected on him. So if he get the husband out the way, then the people would believe maybe the husband did it and he would have a clear conscience. You see, sin makes us go to places that we shouldn't be going. You see, God forgave David, but the consequences of that sin belong to him. You see, the first child born to David and Bathsheba died because of that sin. Solomon, who we're talking about, wrote the book, the Song of Solomon, the book of Ecclesiastes, and much of the book of Proverbs. You know, and then they say he wrote Ecclesiastes, but some contest it, and many believe that he did. God told Solomon that he would divide the kingdom. The kingdom was the 12 tribes of Israel, and they had one kingdom. And God, because of Solomon's disobedience and sin, God said he would divide the kingdom. But he said, because of your father, David, I'm not going to do it to you in your lifetime. Do you see here that God could honor promise he made to your mother and your father on your behalf? All through the Bible, he talks about to the children of Israel and the Israelites when they were messing up. He said, because of my promise to Abraham, I'm going to do thus and so. You know, he would tell them, not because y'all doing what you need to do or not because you're so good, but I promised Abraham. And right here we see God told Solomon, I promised your father. You see, after Solomon died, the United Kingdom, united means together, the United Kingdom of Israel was divided into two kingdoms. The Northern Kingdom was 12 tribes, and the Southern Kingdom was two. So that was the 12 tribes. It was divided into the northern and the southern. One of them was Israel, and the other one is Jerusalem. See how sin could just take and break things apart? Even the promises of God? You see, Solomon was the richest and the wisest king to ever live. And the Bible says until this day. But I come to tell you tonight, yet he did foolish things. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and many of them was foreign, who led him into public idolatry in his old age. And that greatly angered God. But you see, in the meantime, with Solomon doing some of the things he wanted to do his own way. The Bible tells us, lean not to our own understanding. God raised up adversaries against Solomon who caused him trouble the remainder of his life. That's a little bit about Solomon. And for the background, I want to talk a little bit about wisdom. because as we get in the scripture, and if you read the scripture, you know that God asked Solomon, told Solomon he could ask for whatever he wanted. And Solomon asked for wisdom. So we're going to look at wisdom for a little bit, and then we're going to go into the lesson. You see, wisdom is something that you can't earn. It has to be given, and given by God. And you have to ask for it. The book of James says, whoever wants wisdom, ask for it. I could ask you the question right now. How many times have you prayed to God for wisdom? And if you haven't, I suggest you do. Because God say, whoever acts, it shall be given. And God is not in the business of why he would want to hold wisdom from you. But the scripture says those who want it, they have to ask. You see, you can't inherit wisdom. Or is it automatically found in your DNA? That's not one of the things they say could be hereditary. You don't have it just because your mama or your daddy had it. Wisdom provides guidance in the way of righteousness. You know, the book of Proverbs said it is precious. It reveals itself with grace. It preserves character. You ever saw a fool that had great character? It requires trust in God. You see, wisdom embraces teaching. It caused us to be a servant, and we gather stewardship from wisdom. Because, you see, wisdom lets you know that everything belongs to God and we are only stewards. Wisdom is responsive and totally rely on God. I wanted you to know tonight that wisdom is the exact opposite of arrogance. The book of James says that wisdom is peace-loving. Wisdom is considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and it produces good fruit. It is impartial and sincere. You know how many times people say, oh, I'm sorry, but it don't seem like it's sincere. You see, this suggests that wisdom does not take sides, does not harm, and require understanding of others. It is clear that wisdom is the use of sound judgment. If you don't get anything else, take that part. It is clear that wisdom is the use of sound judgment. Wisdom is the ability to use the best means at the best time to accomplish the best end. Now that's deep. I'm going to read that one again. Wisdom is the ability to use the best means. Whatever you got, the best you got. It didn't say you had to be the richest. It's the best means that you have at the best time to accomplish the best end. It is not merely a matter of information or knowledge, but of skillful and practical applications of the truth to the ordinary events of our lives. The skillful and practice application. We all know a lot of educated fools. They went to college and they got the degrees, and yet some people say they can't fight themselves out of brown paper bag. Or no matter how much they get, it does them no good. You see, but wisdom is awareness to be sensitive to every situation, to every person, uninfluenced by any corruptions of one past. It don't make you judge them. It make you love them. Because we all make mistakes. Wisdom is what allow you to know that people will be people. I see so many people every day getting all bent out of shape because, you know, hypothetically Mary did this or Paul did that. People going to be people. People going to do what people does. And it's not going to change for you. But wisdom give you hindsight. You know, there's so many people in your life that you know they're going to do things a certain way. And yet they did it for the whole year, and then when they do it on the beginning of the new year, you want to wonder why. Because they've just been who they are. I could even go a step farther and say wisdom relate to the developing an eternal perspective on life. See, wisdom allows us to take our focus off what is here and now and look to our future, which is our eternal life. And Solomon was asked whatever he wanted, and he asked God for wisdom and discernment. And not for himself, that he could rule over the people that God was giving him. And the scripture says Solomon's speech pleased God. And we're going to go into the lesson tonight. And we're in the third chapter in the first verse. I pray that each and every one of you have your Bible, because this is Bible study. And it's nothing like seeing it in a Bible for yourself. In chapter 3, verse 1, they say, And Solomon made affirmity, which is allegiance, and then they say, with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of the building his own. You know, he was building a house, and the house of the Lord. He was ordained to build a temple and the walls around Jerusalem. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. Verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in his statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer on the altar. You read that and you say, what is the importance of this? First of all, when they say Solomon, you know, married Pharaoh's king, the king of Egypt, you got to realize that Egypt and the Israelites were enemies. But it wasn't uncommon for people to do that in those days, because they figured if they married members of the families of their enemies, then they would have an allegiance, you know, and it would kind of be like, you know, peaceful. They thought that, but it never did work. And God asked them not to marry foreign women. So when we look at Solomon and see how he started, we got to know the facts to see how he ended. You see, Solomon just didn't marry the daughter of the king of Egypt. He married the Moabites. Y'all know the Moabites, the Amorites, the Amasites, and the Hittites. Y'all know about all of them, all of their enemies. But he married between world families, even though the law told him don't do it. And the second part of this verse, he made sacrifices in high places. So why is the scripture saying that? Solomon went to high places, not only Solomon, but a bunch of people, not all the people, because God has specifically said where he wanted the sacrifices made. It was in the law. And God didn't want them going all over making sacrifices because it took the offering out of the watchful eye of the priests and the ministers, and it opened the way for false teaching to be done. You see, the scripture said that 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer up on the altar. See, God is now displeased, but it's not so much the offering, because he did a great offering. But it was where he made it, in high places. Yes, Solomon said he did love God, but this act was a sin. And if we look at the fifth verse, they say, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and the Lord said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I'm but a little child. God comes to Solomon, tell him what he's going to do. Solomon talks back to God, and this is what's going on. It's the conversation. Solomon said, I'm just a little child. And then he said, I don't know how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou have chosen. He said, that's a great people that can't even be numbered nor counted for multitude. Solomon is saying, I'm a boy. I don't know this and I don't know that. And then he goes on in verse 9 and say, give thy servant an understanding heart to judge the people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? That's what Solomon asked for. And verse 10 said, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. You see, Solomon was given a chance to ask for anything, and he asked for wisdom, not wealth, not power, not self-glorification. Solomon asked for what he needed to do his job. He did not ask God to do the job for him. You know, so many of us pray to God and say, God, can you do this? Can you fix this? Can you give me this? Can you? He asked God for the wisdom to do the job that God had given him. He didn't ask God to do the job. You see, we should note that Solomon was not David's oldest child living. You see, when David had become an old man, unable to do much of anything, his oldest son that was living tried to take the throne. And you could understand the confusion, and it's still a part of the war in Jerusalem, you know, and the division that sin had caused. You see, even here we see that the kingdom was divided, and you know, Solomon is made king when he wasn't the oldest child that was usually the way that it happened. You see, usually the oldest son would become king after the father either died or stepped down from the throne. You see, but in this case, David had promised Bathsheba that her son Solomon would be the next king of Israel. And evidently God agreed. Here we see that's what for you is for you. You know, God will make room for your gifts and his will for you that he created before the foundation of the world will be achieved. You got to believe that. God says, I know the thoughts I have towards you in Jeremiah 29:11. And then even in Psalms 139, he say, you know, I formed you in your mother's womb. Hallelujah. I know the number of hairs on your head. I'm going to give you an expected end. See, God has created and working out together for our good the expected end for our lives that he would like to achieve, but we have to cooperate. But just the fact of knowing that should give us rest. Do your best and keep it moving. You see, Solomon went to this high place to make his sacrifice. And it was against the law to do it. You see, when God appeared to Solomon, as the scripture said, to grant his request for wisdom in a dream, God came at night. You see, not during the sacrifice. God honored his prayer but did not condone the sacrifice. You see, if God would have granted him his request during the sacrifice, they all would have thought that it was okay to do it their way and not God's way. You see, everything God does is strategically planned and spiritually ordained. God got you. He's not trying to set you up to fail. And whatever he asks of you, provisions is always attached. You don't have to go and try to do something that God want you to do or ask you to do and feel inadequate. Like Solomon said, I'm just a boy, and he wasn't talking about his age, but he was talking about, you know, his inexperience and all. But wherever God guides you, he also provides for you. And when you trust God, you just take that leap and you just go. If God told you to do something, I told you was going to be something, I told you whatever, if you totally trust him, then just start moving. When Solomon was given a chance to get anything that he wanted, he asked for wisdom. And asking Solomon honored God for his loving kindness towards his people. You see, when he asked, he didn't just, oh, give me this. He honored him. You got such a great people. He also humbly explained his inadequacy. Like, I ain't all that in a bar and in a bag of chips. Solomon was making a statement that I'm not experienced. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, it's a lot of times when something come up for me to do, I always, majority of the time in the beginning, feel inadequate to do whatever it is. But, you know, if you know it's of God, you just keep it moving. And those who think they got it going on and have all the experience and they could do it, they start saying, I. And whenever you say I, too many times you left out God and you thinking you could do it on your own, and you're setting yourself up many times for failure. And then Solomon thanked God. So God is letting us know with this scripture how you do. You come to him. You come humbly, telling him, like I'll say, Lord, I don't deserve it, but I thank you. Some people have a spirit of entitlement when they think everything they get or everything that happened for them, they are entitled to it. We're not. We're not that good. We will never be that good. It's not because of us being good, but it's because of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. It's because of God's grace and mercy. It's because of all these things are because of Jesus. All things through Christ Jesus have afforded us the privilege to stand before such a holy God. You see, and if we look at the next verse, which is verse 11, and God said unto him, because thou had asked this thing, and has not asked for thyself long life, neither has thy asked for riches for thyself, nor has thy asked for the life of the enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. God is telling Solomon, because you asked, I'm going to do according to your word. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee, and before thee, and neither after thee, any arise like unto thee. God said, there ain't going to be none like you. There was never one like you before. Come on, y'all. There'll never be one after you. The Bible says that Solomon is the richest man to ever live till his day. And when the Bible say till his day, that's also right now. And yet the title of the lesson, even the wisest person sometimes do foolish things. And verse 13 said, and I have also chosen thee that which thou hast not asked. He said, this is what you asked for. He said, but it pleased me. Come on, y'all. He said, you asked for wisdom. He said, but I'm going to give you stuff you didn't even ask for. And the scripture goes on to say, both riches and honor, so that there shall be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. He said, nobody going to be able to touch you, Solomon. In essence, Solomon became the man. If the kings couldn't touch him, the people couldn't touch him. And 14 said, and if thou wilt walk in my way, this is God talking now, to keep my statute and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And 15 say, and Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. He didn't leave the people out. Hallelujah. When Solomon evidently woke up from that dream and he had been visited by God, he understood that God was there, and what God said, he could trust and he could believe. Think about some of the things that God is telling you that you may not or have not moved on. Think about what God is asking you to do, places he may be telling you to go, businesses he might be asking you that you can start, or someone who may want to buy a home. He's saying now is the time. And because of fear and whatever else, the tricks of the devil, you are holding back. But Solomon woke up from the dream, and what they say, he went to Jerusalem, and he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered up peace offerings and made a feast. That's a good way to start with the people. God told him he's going to be king. He didn't leave them out. He made a feast for all of the servants. And after reading that, I want you to know that this is the essence of a familiar scripture that many of you know that says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Y'all know that scripture. God said, if you seek me first and my righteousness, he said, you're going to have everything you need and you're going to have a lot of what you want. Take care of God's business first and allow God to take care of yours. You see, God granted Solomon everything he asked for and much more. God said he would lengthen his life if he kept his commandments. Solomon received a wise and discerning heart for God, but it was up to Solomon to apply it in all areas of his life. See, God has given plenty of us wisdom, but it's up to us to apply the wisdom, which is doing what is right, in a sense, because it's the right thing to do. Last week's lesson, it's taking what you got to get the best results and then, you know, having your mind open to please God within the situation as well. You see, Solomon was wise in governing the nation, but he was foolish in running his own household. You see, Solomon married all of these foreign women. And when he married these women, what the Bible says, 700 wives and 300 concubines, you know, all of them came. And remember, they was foreign. They didn't worship the only true God. They had the God of the moon, and they had the God, they had the Buddha, they had the God of the purple color, and you know, they had all of these different gods that they worshipped. And they married Solomon, and Solomon allowed them to first bring them into the place, and then he started allowing them to bring them into the temple, which is idolatry. And God does not go for that. And because Solomon did that, besides other things, Solomon became the richest and the wisest man to ever live. Even though God allowed them to have more wives, the 700 and the 300 was past the limit. So remember that. Because a lot of people have said, well, you could have as many wives as you could afford, and Solomon could have afforded as many as he wanted. Remember, he was the richest man. But there was still a limit on how many you could have. Look in the book of Deuteronomy if you want to see it. Then the other part was, he said that you could get so much riches, but don't go overboard. And I believe the reason for that, for God saying that, was because you know how sometimes when people get a lot, they get a big head. And then if greed sets in, they no longer doing it the right way. You know, Solomon began to try to because of his greed, he began to grow his wealth on the backs of the people. He started taxing them and doing all these kind of things, and he, you know, it just made him keep gaining. And God know maybe too much power in one person's hand is dangerous. Especially when they don't have a heart to do it right. But there's many things we can learn from the life of Solomon and understand why God gave us this example in the Bible. You see, when we seek God with our heart, he will be found. If we honor God, he will honor us. God will always equip us to accomplish the task he calls for us if we will rely on him. Because you got to remember, every task comes with provisions. See, God is not like man. You know, you could go to a job and they tell you to go conquer this or conquer that. They don't give you the resources. They don't give you whatever you need. You know, if you need help, it's a two-man's job and they send you by yourself. It's like they're setting you up to fail. God is not like that. Whatever task he gives you, the provisions is already attached. In other words, the provisions is already where he's asking you to go, waiting for you. You know, Solomon had a great start. A great start. But he didn't finish well. Because in his old age, the women was running rapid and doing even more than they had did in the beginning. Because before they used to co-worship their God, now they bringing their God into the temple, which was a no-no. He started well. You know, a good start is not always enough to finish well. That's why the Bible says the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure into the end. Will you hold on till your changes come? You know, there's another thing we could learn. The closest to us will affect our spiritual lives, and we must therefore be careful of the company we keep. Solomon also tells us, because, you know, he wrote in the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon, he had great wisdom, so he put it in them books. They're called the books of wisdom. Solomon had it all. He had pleasure, wine, wisdom. He did great building projects. You know, Jerusalem achieved more under Solomon than ever before. All of the kings of the nations and Queen Bathsheba and everybody came to see Solomon. Queen Esther, everybody. Solomon, like I say, had it going on, and some of them, when they would come, they would bring so many more gifts to him, and they just wanted to hear what he had to say because he was full of wisdom. You know, Solomon began his journey, and after God had given him so much, Solomon sat down and studied, what could I do to achieve fullness? They say you had to have slaves, so he had the most slaves. He had to have money, he had the most money. You had to have wine and for folly and stuff. He had the most of that. Solomon had the most of everything that this world had to offer. He had the most animals. He had the most crops. He had the most silver and the gold. He had singers and he had a harem. But he had to admit that when he surveyed it all, everything was meaningless. A chasing after a win. He's saying, after I had it all and I did it all, he says something is still missing. Hallelujah. He says vanity. It's all vanity. You know, and he summed it up. He said, because I done did it all. He said, you know, you know, in the book of in Solomon's writing, he say, enjoy the fruit of your labor. He tell us a lot. He said, because you're going to die and somebody else going to have it. He said, he summed it up, it's all vanity. It's like chasing after the wind. You can't catch it. He said, but I can tell you, enjoy life and fear God. Even the wisest person did foolish things. This is the epitome of the scripture that speaks to the fullness of God. You know, there's the scripture that says we all fall short of the glory of God, that there is no possible way. We all fall short of the glory of God. Lets us know that there's no possible way for us to ever reach the presence of God or achieve the high standards of his righteousness. Now, I'm not telling you you can't be the righteousness as you can be, or you can't have a lot of goodness in you. But when the scriptures say we fall short of the glory of God, God's glory in his fullness and his goodness, no, we can't line up with that. We can't do enough to be equal with that. So when they say we fall short of the glory, we have to know what the scripture is really saying. We could never achieve that. You see, and as I get ready to close tonight, Solomon was the wisest, richest person to ever live. But remember, he was only a man born with a sin nature. And even though you may be wise, you have to make this wiseness operate in all areas of your life. Solomon ran government well, but he couldn't control his household. Come on now. And it became his downfall. And many people and theologians ask the questions, do you think Solomon was saved? First of all, I don't tarry with that too much because it's a question that can only be answered by God because he's the only one that can look at the heart. Yes, Solomon did have downfalls. He walked in idolatry. He sacrificed in the wrong places. He began to put burdens on the backs of the people. But when the scripture opened, they say Solomon loved God. And we all fall short. Solomon was just a man who was born, like all of us, with a sinful nature. And that is why even the smartest person to ever live sometimes do foolish things. That's our lesson for tonight. If anybody have any questions, I would like to add to the story. I would like to lead us out in prayer. And I guess, you know, after studying this lesson, the thing is just do your best. Because if you, first of all, you can't achieve perfection. That's number one. You cannot achieve perfection no matter how hard you try. The Bible tells us once saved, always saved. And some people say, Sister Diane, that seemed like you giving a license to sin. God forbid. You know, we're not doing good to be saved, y'all. Y'all got to know that. We're not doing good to be saved. We're doing because what the Savior has done for us. We should want to show honor and glory towards him for what he went through for us. But it is our reasonable service, last week lesson, that we do our best towards God. That we grow. See, growing makes you become better. Grow, the more knowledge you get, should strengthen you more, direct you more, that you could follow more the things of God. So, just be blessed. Be blessed wherever you are right now. go to God as Solomon and David did in their lifetimes and tell him all about what's going on. That's why he created prayer. And then sit down and allow God to talk to you. And I'm sure everything is going to be all right. No one would like to say anything. No one want to ask for prayer. Anyone would like to pray. So it's now the 8:30 hour. And I wanted to tell you guys, wait, I have a caller. Caller, your number is 504-430. Your mic is open.
Good evening, Mr. Dye. I just want to say what a powerful lesson. I know the lesson was do what is right because it's the right thing to do, but I also want to think it was an encouraging lesson. It was encouraging to us to, as you have often told us, when you can't hear his voice, to trust his plan. And when we look at all the things that Solomon had, all the things he did, things he didn't do, Solomon kept his eyes on God. And I think it was just an encouraging lesson tonight. It was an uplifting lesson. It was a needed lesson. And I just want to say thank you.
Thank you so much, Sister Brown. Thank you for calling in. And I want y'all to know how I picked this lesson. You know, I evaluate myself a lot, and there's some things in my life that I'm still trying to get out of, you know. And there's some things I make, bad decisions. And I told God, I said, God, I really believe, you know I have wisdom because I asked you and you granted it. I said, but why I make these mistakes and why I do these foolish things? He told me, go study Solomon. And when I first read it and said, even the wisest person to ever live do foolish things, not that it makes me want to do more foolish things, but make me understand the reality of being born with a sin nature, having flesh wrapped around my bones, and waiting for the Messiah to come where I could be transformed. And then there will be no sin. But that's how I got this lesson, because I asked him, how I keep messing up, why I don't give more of myself, why I don't do more, why I don't love more, you know, and somebody on the outside looking in say, Diane, you know, you are right, but, you know, you have these feelings of inadequacies within yourself, like Solomon said, I'm only a boy. So I asked him, how could I just keep, why I'm not stronger than I am right now? He said, go check out Solomon. And then he told me, even the wisest person sometimes do foolish things. I guess that's a part of creating rest in my soul, but still having the determination to want to go up higher to make the mark that I'm pressing towards, which is Christ Jesus. And if that's all, I'm going to, and no one would like to pray, I'm going to go ahead and do a benediction that you guys ought to be familiar with by now. And I'm always, when I say it, say the scripture and a verse, it's coming from 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, 18 verse. It is my desire that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have a call of 504-534. Your mic is open.
Yes.
Caller?
I was just calling to see. I was blessed with the lesson. And when you was talking and you talked about Solomon, a song came on my heart, and I just want to sing it. Lord, I love you. Yes, I love you. How I love you. I really love you just for who you are and all of your glory. My heart sings, holy, holy. You are everything I need you to be. You are the great I am. Lord, I love you, Lord. How I love you, Lord. I really love the Lord. I really love you, Lord. Yes, I do. I really love you. Thank you, Lord God. God, we just thank you for this night, oh God. We thank you because your word declares that we ought to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, because your word declares that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, oh God. And we will show forth the praises of you who has called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, oh God. And we thank you because we can stand on your promises because your word said they are yea and they are amen. And God, we just pray strength right now for Sister Diane, Lord God. And God, that you would increase her all the more because we all want to go higher in you, oh God. We want more of Jesus and less of self. And your word declares that we ought to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because we are lively stones. And we just thank you for your grace and your mercy on tonight, Lord. We thank you because your word declares that we ought to get understanding. And we thank you for opening up understanding in our minds, oh God. We thank you because you said you did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So we thank you for sound mind this evening, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We pray for the sister that's in the hospital that you would raise her up in the mighty name of Jesus because your word says that you heal all men of sickness and diseases. And we just thank you for what you have done in all of our lives that's on this line tonight, oh God, for what you is doing in our lives and for what you will do. We thank you in advance, Lord. We praise you and we give you all glory and honor to your darling son, Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Sister Minister Mackey, for your song and your prayer. You did devotion. And for that, I am grateful. And God is pleased. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. So,
is there anyone else who'd like to say anything? If not, we're going to close out. I just wanted to tell you guys that when you call in, if you call in a little bit before 8:30, because all of the time is not synchronized. So sometime when you call in, it might be on the song, it might be then. But you could start calling in as soon as 8:15, but I don't want you to sit on the line that long. But you could call in a little earlier, and you could be from the very beginning. With that being said, and everything has been done, let the church say amen, and let us go in grace until we come back again. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. Good night to everyone. God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed.